Without a doubt, this was the fastest year of my life. And by God's grace, I pray also a helpful year. Some of you are not old enough to remember I've been here before several times. Dave and I have been friends for a number of years. And so grateful that he and his family have been able to get away for this weekend. Pray it'll be a time of refreshment and renewal for them physically and spiritually. And I'm glad you're here. You know, this happens only about every 6 or 7 years, that the last day of the year is on a Sunday. And I think it's a very special time for us to thank God for this year and all of his blessings of the year, but also to look forward to next year. What does God have in store for us? What can we commit ourselves to? There is no more period of time in all of the calendar than the first 2 or 3 weeks of a new year where more people fail. They begin with New Year's resolutions. Ever heard of those? Ever made one or more or hundreds over the years? Most New Year's resolutions have failed within 2 or 3 weeks, somewhere in the 90 percentile. But I want to talk to you today about a New Year's resolution that does not need to fail, that I pray will prevail and will be used of God in your life. For that New Year's resolution is prayer. Pastor Dave specifically asked me to speak about prayer today, and it's one of my favorite subjects and one of the most important values in my life and ministry. So I'm delighted to do that. The scripture has so much to say about prayer. There are so many places we could go, and I think it's significant that your pastor is leading you, this congregation, to invest in prayer for the first 21 days of the year. You may not know it, but millions and millions of Christians across this country and around the world will be doing the same thing. And many of them will be not only praying, they will be fasting. We need God to move in our nation in an incredible way, in our community, in our world. And God honors our prayers as we seek him and as we seek his guidance. So I pray it for you and I pray it for me. I'd like to pray now before we share God's word with you. So Father, please come. Come this morning is our prayer. And minister to us in the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is your word that we're focusing on this morning. There's nothing like it. No other book in all the universe like it. It is your holy, inspired, revealed word to us. So Lord, speak to us, we pray, through this wonderful passage in James chapter 5. And we will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them with you, to James chapter 5. And we're going to focus on this wonderful, wonderful passage, beginning with verse 13. James 5, beginning with verse 13. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing praises and songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. 4 major themes in this text that we want to explore together. The first seems, at least should seem, very obviously. Is anyone in trouble? What should they do? Let them pray. Do you know the first thing most people do when they were in trouble? Even some who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. The first thing they do, the normal thing to do, is to curse. We live in a world full of cursing. Have you noticed? We're surrounded by people who curse. I remember when I was a teenager, I was a very committed Christian. And I would go to prayer meeting every week. I hope you do as well. It'd be great if you could move from the office to the sanctuary, if we would give that kind of priority to prayer. But one of the men, one of the elders of the church, and I was living in rural South Dakota. My father was a pastor, and we had moved from Minnesota to South Dakota when I was in junior high. I loved to hear this guy pray. He prayed the most beautiful prayers. And then when I became a little older in my teenage years, probably 14 or 15, I began working on farms and ranches in the area, and he invited me to come and work for him for a few days. He had some grain in a granary that needed to be moved out, and he wanted me to help. I was astounded. Within 5 minutes of going into the granary and shoveling grain into an auger, into a truck, I heard what I never would have expected in all my life. This seemingly godly man who prayed beautiful prayers was cursing like a drunk sailor. Now, I've never heard a drunk sailor curse, but that's a saying that we often hear. Broke my heart. Had a tender heart. I remember getting home and just weeping. How could someone who professed Christ, when things were not going well, he was not praying then, he was cursing. If we're in trouble, it's time to pray. I've been a follower of Jesus since I was 7 years old, so that was at least 20 years ago. At least. It's amazing how, even as we get older, God continues to teach us things if we're open. And within the last couple years, I mean, I have prayed over trouble for years, and God is so faithful. It's amazing how he can deliver us from trouble. By the way, we do not need to tell him how to do it. He is so much wiser than we are and so much more creative. A great way to pray is, after we've asked for his help, to say, "Lord, how are you going to get me out of this?" It's just amazing how faithful God is if we will only ask him for help. We just pray for his help. But within the last couple years, the Lord has taught me a very simple prayer. I have preached for years that a prayer that God is always willing to respond to is simply one word in prayer, sincerely uttered in him, and often with total dependence on him. It is the word help. Lord, help. Don't know what to do. Don't know how to respond. Lord, help me. Help us. Help the church. Help our cities. Help our communities. Help our nation. Lord, help. 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 But the Lord's been teaching me to add a couple things to that prayer. So, as we begin a new year, this is a gift. I pray you'll accept it. I pray you'll use it. If you don't, use it. It's simply a three-point prayer. Point one, Lord, help me. Second, Lord, answer my prayer. Third, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It happened just this last week in a most vivid way in my life. I was facing a situation that seemed impossible. And I just prayed that simple prayer. Within 5 minutes, the problem was totally resolved. I couldn't take any credit for it. God did it. The person that I was needing to call, and I just was not looking forward to it. I hadn't talked to him since March of last year. He lives in another part of the country. He had no idea that God was burdening me to call him over a very difficult matter. Needed his help. Within 5 minutes after my praying that prayer, he called me. If you would have said to me, what are the chances of that happening? I would have said about 1 in 500,000. Maybe 1 in 500 million. Didn't even know I was on his radar screen. God is waiting for us when we are in trouble. Prayer is not always the only thing we do, but it's the first thing we should do before we do anything else. Pray. Ask God for his help. He loves us to do that. I know that's a simple statement, but boy, many of our lives in this very room right now would be transformed if we would just begin to do that. So New Year's resolution, number one. Instead of cursing, instead of complaining, instead of ignoring God, instead of blaming God when troubles come, and troubles will come, I'm going to pray. If nothing else, Lord, help. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your answer. Reminds me of my first church when I was in seminary in Chicago, Northern Baptist Seminary. I pastored a church that was replanted. You know what a replant is? This was a church at one time was, they had attendance of about 200, 250. When I arrived, they had 20. And that's really cheating the figures because one family had 9 children. So God began to bless and the church began to grow. And one of the ladies who came to Christ was a lifelong alcoholic. She was a really old, old, old lady. She must have been in her early 60s. At that point of life, I was about 23. I thought that was really old. Now I think those are teenagers. And I was preaching, I don't remember the subject I was preaching on, but I've never forgotten this. Her life was transformed by Jesus Christ. Absolutely, radically transformed. Just a delightful lady. Jeannie and I loved her so much. Jeannie's my wife, in case you didn't deduce that. So, I mentioned within the message that we were facing a challenge in our lives, a problem. And I asked if the congregation would pray for us. And then I moved on to whatever the subject was. Well, when she went out of church that morning, she did something. She always said the same thing. Pastor, that's the most wonderful message I ever heard in my life. I mean, no wonder we loved her. But she was sincere about it. She was incredible. So I said, okay. So she came out that morning. She did not say that. She was obviously upset, and she was upset with me. And she wagged her finger at me, and she said, Pastor, don't ever mention from the pulpit again that you have problems. Pastors are not supposed to have problems. You're going to make me lose my faith. And I put my arm around her. I said, my dear sister, if your faith depends on your pastor not having problems, we need to have a talk, which we did. God has not promised that we would not have troubles, but he has promised to help us with those troubles. And he uses them in our lives to draw us closer to him and more dependent upon him. Pray. when you're in trouble. Secondly, pray when things are going well. So many more things go well than things that don't go well in our lives. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Now, it is more likely for us to pray when we have troubles than to pray when everything's going well. Have you noticed that? A part of my discipline, every morning, as I was up early this morning, spending time with God, every morning, is to have a time of thanksgiving. You know, that wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 4, which said, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will have God's peace that is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. And His peace will rule your hearts. Don't forget to give thanks. Thank God for blessing upon blessing in our lives. Sing songs of praise. The Psalms 92, one of my favorite passages. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning before I get out of bed, the Lord has taught me over the years, I recommend it to you, is to pray Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, back to God. It is a good thing to give thanks to God, to sing praises to His name, O Most High, to sing forth His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness at night. Jeannie and I always pray when we get to bed. And often we're very, very weary. We work long hours. We're both still working full time. And we love our ministry and love our work. And it's easy just to go to sleep. But again, when the room is quiet after we have prayed, often after Jeannie's gone to sleep, she goes to sleep more easily than I do. I pray this prayer. Great is Thy faithfulness. Thank You for being faithful today. We have a God who is always faithful. He doesn't always do what we want Him to do. He doesn't always skip through our hoops that we've prepared. But He is faithful. To use the other phrase we often use, you can take it to the bank. He is always faithful. Not once in a while, not one time out of 10. Not even one time out of 2. He is always faithful. Pray when you're in trouble. Pray when things are going well. Resolution number 2. Pray when your body gets in trouble. This is interesting. In the midst of this teaching on prayer, the James would talk specifically about physical healing. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they've sinned, they've been forgiven. We don't have time to say a great deal about that, but the truth is this. What's the first thing we should do when we're sick? Well, call the doctor. No. Ask God. Ask God. Anyone in this room who believes that God rescued you when you were ill, God saved your life? Hands? Yeah, a lot of hands. Me too. I was 14 years old, living in rural America, 100 miles from the nearest doctor and hospital when I became seriously ill. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story, except my father, who was a pastor, anointed me with oil. I mean, he's Presbyterian. You don't think Presbyterians do that. He was sure I wouldn't make it to the hospital. My teenage brother, who normally did nothing but give me a bad time, was visibly shaken. He thought I was dying, and I was. My father anointed me with oil and prayed, elder of the church. And by the time we were 10 miles out of town, my high fever broke. And by the time I got to the hospital and the doctor, I had been restored. We can share story after story. Now, God doesn't always heal immediately. Have you noticed that? By the way, I better say this lest I forget. I'm not suggesting we don't go to the doctor. I'm just suggesting before we do or on the way, pray. Ask God for his help. If God chooses to use the doctor, if God chooses to use medicine, the Lord is the healer. He can use any method that he desires. We just need to pray for his intervention. In contrast, we have three children, two sons and a daughter. Our daughter was the youngest. And one day before Christmas, when she was a year and a half old, she was stricken with a virus. The doctors never were able to fully identify what it was. And we rushed her to the hospital. And we prayed the Lord would bring healing. We called our pastor. We asked for prayer. The elders prayed. Others in the congregation prayed. And little did we know. We know. No doubt in our minds, God could have healed her that night. But he didn't. 12 years later, 155 surgeries later, God brought her to healing, and today she's a wonderful wife and mother of two of the most incredible grandchildren in the world. I know you have the other most incredible. We put ourselves in the hands of God. God used those years so incredibly in her life and ours and the life of so many others. But we can trust him. Third thing and the last thing. Pray with righteousness. What do we mean by that? Well, what does the text say? It's very, very interesting. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Some of you I know, because it's very common, really wonder, can I do anything significant for God? Can God use me? Could I play an instrument like our brother plays so beautifully? Could I sing? Could I do this? Could I preach? Could I teach a Bible study? Could I do this? God has not always gifted us in those areas, but there's one gift, there's one thing that every Christian can do. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the church had just begun. What were the distinctives of the early church? What did they devote themselves to? The passage teaches us one of the primary things they did, they were devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, we read, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful. You can touch this church through your prayers. Your pastor depends on your prayers. If you are not praying for him regularly, daily, you are failing him, you're failing the church, you're failing the ministry. You can make a difference in Pastor Dave's life and ministry. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. When someone has offended you, first thing we should do is pray for them, not curse them. Pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit in Indio and the Coachella Valley and beyond. I have a good friend who wrote a book that has sold millions of copies. He just died shortly ago, so he's now in heaven, but he's still a good friend. Well, we'll catch up one of these days. Touch the world through prayer. Our brother's going to Atlanta. He's in ministry. You've supported him. He's one of the missionaries of the church. You can touch his life and ministry. You probably have young men, young women from this church family who are in the military. Some may be in other parts of the world. You can touch their lives through prayer. Some have gone away to college or university. You can touch their lives through prayer. The example here is Elijah. But Elijah was just an ordinary person. But God used his prayers miraculously, extraordinary. Jeannie and I have a prayer team that pray regularly for us. We communicate with them at least once a month, sharing updates of prayer requests, and there are about 300 of them scattered literally around the world. But we also have what we call an inner circle, and this is about 10 people. Most of these people, according to the earth standards, do not have great giftings. You wouldn't recognize any of their names. None of them are great Christian leaders or great church leaders or great pastors or great evangelists. They're just people like all of us who love Jesus, who are following Jesus. I'm writing to them. I write to them every Sunday or Monday, and I'm writing to them this weekend at the beginning of a new year, and I'm just saying, without you, we could not be doing what God is doing through us. We depend on you. That's not a cliche. That's an absolute realization and conviction. We need to support one another in prayer. I've been leading a national ministry for the last 25 years, a wonderful coalition of Christian ministries, about 500 partners. Actually, about 1,100 altogether. They're in different categories, which I won't bother you with the details, except to say we have an annual gathering every year, different parts of the country, different cities. And a few years ago, we were in Orlando, Florida, just across the street from Campus Crusade, now Cruz Ministry, and Wycliffe Bible Translators, and a wonderful facility that they helped build. That's also used by a local congregation. And the first day of our meeting, we had about 1,000 people there. And the first day, the first morning of our first session, my assistant came running to me and said, "Paul, we've lost my computer. Everything is gone." And he said, all of our hymns are on it. All this is on it. That's on it. We can't have meetings without it. What are we going to do?" And the Lord give him the credit for it, the wisdom to say, "Well, I think the first thing we ought to do is pray." I used to laugh at people who prayed for computers. I don't laugh anymore. I tell you, I've been working with computers since the early days of the computers. My first compact computer, it was called a compact computer, and it was as big as a suitcase, literally, and weighed like a heavy suitcase. And so I've been at it a long time before some of you were born. But we had intercessors. We never had a public meeting without on-site intercessors. And that's where I headed. Didn't head for the tech guy. Didn't head for the computer people. Didn't head for the specialist. Headed for people who know how to pray. And I shared the need with them. I said, unless God intervenes, this meeting is going to be very negatively affected. And they went to prayer, and I turned and walked back. Probably the length of this sanctuary four times over, maybe three times. And I arrived at the sound video area like you have here in the sanctuary. And before I could say anything, Noel said, "It's working." He said, "I have no idea why it's working. I didn't do anything. I didn't touch anything. It just started working." I said, "Noel, you know why. God cares about the little things. God cares about the big things. What is big to you may be little to Aunt Myrtle, but what is little to Aunt Myrtle may be big to you, and vice versa." I won't go through the whole scenario except to say, it's time to pray. As we begin a new year, would you make a commitment or a recommitment that prayer will be a high priority for you every day? Every day. And you will see God do great things. Not always what we want, not always what we expect, but always great things. He is our Lord, and He is to be trusted. So that is our prayer this morning, dear Lord. That is our prayer. Lord, as your disciples asked you, we ask you again. Some of us have asked many, many times. Lord, teach us to pray. May we begin with just this simple prayer. Come, 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 Lord Jesus. Help, 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 Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. We trust you, and I trust these dear people to you. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. Thank you.